It has been disheartening to watch a painful racial rift become more and more glaring in this country. On this show, we will continue to address the broad challenges to justice and equality that have been revealed by recent events. But amidst all the turmoil and breaking news headlines, we also absolutely must take the time to look at what works in resolving inequities and seemingly insurmountable conflicts. That's why this week, even as protests continue in many cities across the nation, I'm very pleased to bring to you a conversation with the Reverend William Barber II, founder of the Moral Monday Movement and head of the North Carolina chapter of the NAACP. And he's out with a new book that's both a telling of recent history and a compelling call to action. The title is Forward Together, A Moral Message for the Nation. And I'm very pleased that the publication of this book brings Reverend Barber back to State of Belief Radio. Reverend Barber, welcome back.
Thank you so much, my friend. It's glad to be with you on today.
This is an exciting book. Would you talk about the genesis of the idea of expressing your message in this form?
Well, you know, oftentimes in the middle of movements, we don't document what's going on. And the Forward Together Moral Movement, one component of it is the Moral Monday Movement, connects people of all different races, creeds, colors, sexualities, and faiths together in a way that is quite unique, particularly in the South. We've seen, you know, upwards of 100,000 people join in our mass moral march on Raleigh. It is a direct challenge to the immoral activity, we believe, of extremism that's trying to roll back voting rights, attack the poor, attack the sick, attack health care, you know, attack the immigrant community, the labor rights community, and the LGBT community. And it gives us a framing that's not limited to liberal versus conservative, Republican versus Democrat, but says there are some things that are constitutionally consistent, morally defensible, and economically sane, which means there are also some things that are constitutionally inconsistent, morally indefensible, and economically insane. And so folks said, right, talk about this past year. It may help other people, especially since we started seeing a Moral Monday movement break out across the nation and other places. So with my editor, Barbara Zelter, we sat down and basically took you through Moral Monday, what happened on some key days, and then the actual prophetic speech or sermon, if you would, that went along with that, because we believe language is the fundamental beginning of a moral movement. You have to get the language right in order to get the actions right. And then we connect you back to some things that even predated last year. And then in the back, we kind of lay out the 12-step methodology. And part of the proceeds will actually go to continuing the movement.
Good. How has the experience of leading the Moral Monday movement informed and maybe even changed your understanding of the hunger that people have for moral leadership?
Well, the hard spade work, you know, the stuff that you don't see on the stage, going to communities, as for instance, when I went to Mitchell County after 13 weeks of civil disobedience in the Capitol, and we took Moral Monday on the road, and we were headed to Asheville, but I got a call to go to Mitchell County, which is 99% white, 89% Republican. And at first I said, why are they inviting me there? Surely it's just to criticize. But we decided to go, and when we got there, we found people who were Republicans, but they were Teddy Roosevelt, Lincoln, Eisenhower Republicans, who were very distraught with Tea Party extremism and understood that when people do things like cut Medicaid and cut unemployment and raise taxes on the working poor and roll back voting rights, it hurts all of us. And that those things are deeply immoral. And we're now organizing there. So I've seen firsthand that by changing the language from mere Republican to Democrat and liberal versus liberal, you can actually build bridges with the language. You know, the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And Brueggemann says it's the poetry of the poets that actually connects us, because they're able to talk what he calls dualistically, both about grief and about hope. I believe we're in a moral crisis, my friend. I really do. Not just a political crisis, even though I believe politics are deeply moral, budgets are deeply moral. But whenever you can have politicians that will run on a campaign and in essence say, elect me and I'll cut your public education, hurt your teachers, stop your voting rights, undermine your health care, undermine your labor rights, undermine fundamental equal protection under the law, undermine your living wages and opportunity for minimum wage, then they get votes, in many cases win. And you see people crying about that and hurting. We are in a moral crisis that needs us to do what Isaiah said, yeah, to rise up and cry loud and spare not. And we found, what I've found, is it brings people together in ways I could have never met. I would have never imagined, finally, that 1,006 people, I mean, we had been organizing with this Forward Together movement for 7 years, but 1,006 people committed to civil disobedience under this moral banner, more than any time in the history of the South. 65% of them were white, 11 to 13% were Republicans and independents. And we've been at this now over 152 weeks, and it's still growing and still moving.
You know, Reverend Barber, you are so very good at capturing individual stories and sharing them in an inspiring way. Can you offer an anecdote or two from Moral Mondays that would help listeners understand the power of this movement?
Several. The first day that we went into the legislature for the civil disobedience piece, April 29th, in the middle of Pentecost, because on Maundy Thursday of last year, our legislators decided to begin the crucifixion of voting rights, and people said, we've got to do something. Every crucifixion needs a witness. So we had seven ministers to go in, of Jewish, Christian, Muslim. We had 10 people to go in, but one of them was a lady by the name of Marty who suffers from cerebral palsy. And I said to her, you know, you don't have to go in. They will probably arrest us. She says, no, I have to go in. Because I'm thinking about how immoral it is for me to have health insurance and all of the people, 500,000 that this governor and legislature are denying Medicaid expansion simply because they do not like the president. And we knew that when those 25 officers came out and arrested us for praying, singing, and talking loud, i.e. preaching, we knew when they went to Marty and rolled her out in her wheelchair and she held her fist high, that something different was happening here. Yeah. And sitting in jail all night with her, and she simply says, all I want to do is get out, go back organizing, and if I've got to come again and stay because what's happening is wrong.
Oh,
or when we've had Republican and Democratic teachers stand on the stage together and say, right, we're putting down party. It's immoral to cut public education and hurt children and hurt teachers. Or when we've had Republican and Democrat union workers who lost their unemployment, and I watched an African-American who was a Democrat one day embrace a brother who's Republican who said, you know, I voted for this crowd, but now because of their actions, the only thing I'm sure of is that I'm going to die and I don't know how to pay my mortgage because they have actually cut my unemployment. Or finally, when we go up in the mountains, you know, I told you about Mitchell County, and we met with them that night, but then the next day in Asheville, 10,000 people showed up. And this past election up in the mountains, Mountain Moral Monday, was the only movement in the country that was successful at rallying people to vote in such a way that incumbent Tea Party extremists were removed from office.
Yeah.
One lady came up to me and said, thanks for 13 weeks of penitence. She was a white lady. She said, I was taught to dislike you, hate you, but this has been like church for me at the General Assembly. It has caused me to remove away from a lot of the things I was taught. I've had atheists say, look, I thought I was an atheist till I went to Moral Monday. I never even heard about, you know, the scriptures and the gospel and this way where we're talking about justice and justice being at the forefront. Thank you for at least broadening my experience.
You have inspired so many people. I've got to ask you, who or what inspires you?
Well, my father, first and foremost, and I would say that only in the course he's second to the scriptures and God, but my father's taught me what it meant to be a Christian, and that to be a Christian, a person of faith, and to not care about justice is a terrible oxymoron. And I thank him for that. I love him for that. Every time I'm on stage, I think about him every time I'm preaching, even though he died in 1988, just as I was leaving seminary. You know, I'm certainly inspired by the great leadership of black and white fusionist clergy members in 1868 in North Carolina, like Reverend J.W. Hood and Samuel Ashley, who helped rewrite North Carolina's Constitution and built a fusion movement of black and whites in the 1800s. And I say if they could do it then, and they could transform the South then, surely we can do it now.
Yeah.
I'm inspired by Walter Rauschenbusch and Washington Gladden and the movement of the social gospel movement. I think we need to pick that up more and more today,
absolutely,
particularly in the times in which we live, and understand how it impacted somebody like Teddy Roosevelt, who ended up in 1912 basically saying there are five moral focuses of government ought to be minimum wages and taking on big business and public education and protecting the environment and health care for all. This was, you know, in the 20th century, the beginning of the 20th century. What if politicians could be re-challenged with a moral argument today? And then certainly the civil rights movement from Emmett Till's mother, who chose to make America look at racism by not closing the casket, to Rosa Parks, who sat down 4 months after Emmett Till's death. Yes. And certainly, you know, Dr. King, my father, so many others who stood up to America and said, listen, you know, we're coming not as politicians, but as modern day prophets who are saying to America, you can be better. And we're going to hold you accountable to what you said on paper. And in essence, if you're going to put your hand on the Bible and swear to uphold its constitution, we're going to make sure that your budgets, your policies, your laws are measured by both of them.
The Reverend William Barber II is the founder of the Moral Monday movement. He's the president of the North Carolina chapter of the NAACP. He's pastor of the Greenleaf Christian Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Reverend Barber's new book is titled Forward Together, A Moral Message for the Nation. Reverend Barber, it is always inspiring to talk with you, and I can't thank you enough for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. And listen, I want you to join us February 14th. We're going to come back to Raleigh with a mass moral march saying that love and justice can't be voted out, can't be talked away, and can't be repealed. And love for you to come down, your audience to come down. They can go to our website, NAACPNC, and check out the Save the Date that's already there. And thank you so much for your prayers and for allowing me to be on this platform.